Our purpose in life is something that is extremely important. The individual who is without a purpose meanders. He goes here, he goes there, he tries this, he tries that, and he drifts. And that's very dangerous for any Christian. We need to know what we are doing and where we are going and why it is important for us to travel this pathway. The Lord Jesus always is the best example for us. You need not turn there, but there is a verse in 1 Peter 2:21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. The Lord Jesus is always our best example, always the one that is hardest to follow, because he never makes a mistake. And we do, commonly. We try and fail. We have good ambitions, and they don't materialize. And a purpose is extremely important to keep us focused on what we are doing. Our text is John 5:30, the words of the Lord Jesus himself. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. My judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. Now, there is an example for us. The Lord Jesus did not come to earth seeking what he wanted. He did not come here to accomplish some private goal that he had. His goal was to honor his Father, to accomplish exactly what his Father intended. Now, that purpose governed everything in his life. And he never forgot it. There's not a solitary occasion where that slipped his mind. He was always focused on exactly what his Father's will was. That was impressive. And we're going to look at some of these occasions and some of these statements today to see exactly how that is borne out. What he did was prophesy. In Psalm 40, again, you need not turn back there, and verse 8, that messianic psalm spoke of the Lord Jesus and prophesied that attitude of his. I delight to do thy will, O my God. That's not just the words of David the psalmist. That's the word of the Messiah he was talking about there. The Lord Jesus delighted to do the will of his Father. It was his consuming passion. Friends, that's convicting. For many Christians, doing God's will is the last resort. We try everything else first. His will, you know, if we have to, that's the way we'll go. That's an attitude problem. We all recognize that. We still fall into that trap. We always seem to think that we know better, that our pathway somehow shines a little brighter, this pathway is more pleasant, and we never seem to think that the all-wise God wants for us the very best pathway, the one that he would choose perfectly. Can we improve on that choice? No. We can certainly twist it. We can certainly push and pull and manage to slip away from it. But we can improve on perfect wisdom, perfect love, perfect holiness, who chooses that pathway for us. That we must ponder. The apostolic company saw that in action. They watched the Lord Jesus day by day, week after week, for 3.5 years. They saw him do it. That must have been absolutely staggering. I mean, we cherish a good example, and they're rare. But they had an example living before them day after day, and they could watch God's will unfold unmistakably. They never forgot that lesson. Paul, in Philippians chapter 3, declares that his purpose in life was to please Christ. This one thing I do, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That was his purpose. He saw in Jesus the absolute perfect manifestation of God's will. That was his heart's desire. And he portrays his actions like a runner who is determining to run the race with all that is within him, the strength and the courage. Everything he had was focused on that race. We saw how he lived, the missionary journeys he went on, the outreach he had. That was impressive. It will stay impressive to the end of time. Peter, in 1 Peter 5:3, urges the elders in the church to be examples to the flock. The elders are not in that position so that they can have fun, please themselves, do whatever they want. They're there to be ministers to the flock. They're there to provide help to the sheep who need it. And Peter urges, yes, that is your business. That is what you're focused on. Peter's life demonstrated that as well. The Apostle John, in 1 John 2:6, he that saith that he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Mere empty claim is worth nothing. But if you claim to belong to Christ, then you ought to be looking at Christ and determining that your walk shall match his walk, and that you too will be focused on the will of God to accomplish all his will for you. John the Baptist declared in his ministry that the Lord Jesus Christ came to take away the sins of the world. And he cried to the multitude, "Behold the Lamb of God." John understood the purpose, and his purpose in respect to that, because he was the forerunner. How focused he was. He did exactly what God intended, and his ministry prepared the way for the Lord's ministry. Oh, what a precious privilege that was. My friends, the Lord demonstrated that the will of his Father was everything to him. He would not turn aside from it. He chose every step deliberately in conformity to that perfect will. We must ponder that very seriously. In John chapter 10 and verse 11, the Lord Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." Now, a shepherd is a position of responsibility. If any of you have been in farming, you know once you have animals, you have a continuing responsibility. You are there every day. They need water, they need food, they need care. You can't just go off on a vacation and forget about them. They'd all die while you're gone. So it's a case where there's continuous responsibility. He is the good shepherd. A shepherd looked after the flock. It was his concern to see that those sheep had care, that they were led to the green pastures, to the still waters, that there was protection at hand all the time. That was the shepherd's business. And the Lord Jesus says now, he is the good shepherd. Not of animals, but of people. He is the shepherd now for everyone who trusts in him. He is looking after them. He is providing nourishment, strength, guidance. The shepherd goes out in front of the flock and leads them. In the Mideast, the shepherds don't drive sheep. They get out and lead them, get out in front of them. The sheep follow along. They expect to be led. That's a beautiful example of how the Lord leads us. He gets out in front of us, showing us the pathway. He doesn't tell us, go down this way. No, he walked the way before us. He demonstrated how to please his Father. He showed how to be a blessing to people. He lived the life. And now he leads us, and we follow. It's a deliberate following. We see he knows the way. He certainly is able to guide us. And as we follow his steps, we are conscious that he is leading us deliberately. My friends, there's no such thing as blind chance. It's choices. All of it is choices. The things that happen to you don't happen by accident. They happen because God permits them. And therefore, you are to take from that what your responsibility is. When things happen, this is God's will. This is something you should face and accomplish his purpose in that particular occasion, whatever it is. Too many times we look at circumstances and say, this is terrible. I don't like this pathway at all. How can I bail out of this? Sometimes there's no way. But my friends, remember, the pathway he chooses is always the best, always the wisest one. And when you walk humbly down that pathway following the shepherd, you discover why he picked that pathway. Some of the saddest things in my life have been occasions when I wondered to myself, why did I have to go through this? But always the thought was, it is God's will. I can't see why, but he certainly knows. And without an exception, as I look back in my life, every one of those occasions was there because I was going to run into somebody down the pathway who would face that kind of a situation and need help. And I was prepared to tell them about God's will and how to find it in that situation. First time that happened, I was really astonished. But it's happened so many times in my life. The hard places have always been sources of benefit and blessing to others. Think of that, friends. Don't try to bail out from the hard situation. Face it. Learn exactly what God wants you to learn from that situation. Others need that help. You will be able to tell them authoritatively how to face that situation because you've been there. When we think of the purpose of the Lord Jesus and that determination that was there, the cross was what he was traveling toward. That's a terrifying thought for anyone, to die in utter agony with terrible suffering. No one wants to face that. Everyone would be glad to somehow get out of that situation. But he chose it because it was the only way you and I could be saved. It was a terrible choice from a human standpoint. It was a blessed choice from God's standpoint because it would mean multitudes of people in God's presence with his blessing, forgiven, redeemed saints there to serve him forever. What a triumph that will be. And it all hinged on the cross. When lesser events happened in the life of the Lord, he would say, as in John 2:4, my hour is not yet come. They were just minor hurdles, things that he took care of and moved on. But when he drew to the end, in chapter 12, verse 23, he declared, the hour is come. The last week when here he had to fulfill everything else and then face that cross. In John 17:1, the last night before it all happened, he prayed to his Father and said, Father, the hour is come. That was why he came into the world. He came to die. The rest of us have come here to live. But he came to die. Now that's hard to think of life in that category. His whole purpose was to accomplish our redemption. His purpose was the will of his Father. His Father wanted saints before him to sing the praises of his dear Son. And his dear Son sacrificed himself to accomplish that purpose. It was a magnificent plan, an accomplishment dreadful. But yet, it was a holy task. It was the divine will, and the Lord did it perfectly. That remains the greatest single example for us of self-sacrifice, of devotion to the Father's will, of zeal to accomplish that purpose in life. And we see it in the Lord Jesus perfectly. He explained that on several occasions. In John 6:39, he declared, this is the Father's will, that of all that he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. What a remarkable statement. He portrays all of us who have come to the Lord Jesus as a gift that the Father had given Him. Now, considering our poor, miserable condition, we make a sorry gift. Surely the Lord could do better than that. But that was a mystery. The Father's gift to the Son was you and I. And the Lord says His Father's will was that He shouldn't lose a single one. And there is the marvelous power of the divine Son of God, that His grace is sufficient for us. It's not just bare survival. It is sufficient. He is not going to lose one. He is going to see to it that every last saint is there. That's His promise to the Father, and that was His purpose. How many times did He stop to hunt for those individuals, like the woman at the well? She didn't know He was waiting for her, but He was waiting. How many times did He seek people like Zacchaeus? I must go and be in your house today. That's a shock to tell a total stranger. But He was looking for him. Here was a candidate for that eternal life. Here was part of the Father's gift. Ah, what attention He had to the lost. Friends, we don't have that. When we pass people on the street, that's just one more John Q. Public. We don't generally think of them. Here's a candidate for the gospel. Here's somebody who needs to be saved. Why don't we think that way? I don't know why. It's hard for us to understand what the Lord saw all the time, the purpose of God. It wasn't here to get certain work done, to have a good time, to gain possessions. All the things that the world is doing is non-essential, because when they come to the end of their life, it's all gone. But the Lord did something that will never end. And the people's lives that He touched will never be snuffed out. They'll always be in His presence. And the apostles reaching out in their evangelism to reach others with the gospel, bringing others in. They weren't wild-eyed fanatics. They were purposeful men. They saw what God's will was. They were prepared to do it, just as we should be. Why is it so hard for us to remember? In verse 40, same chapter, "This is the will of Him that sent me, that every one that seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." That was what He was living with. This was the Father's will. This person He needed to contact. That person needed to hear this word. He was reaching out to those individuals, and it was going to be an eternal gift from the Father to the Son, and the Son was the instrument of making that gift what it should be and presenting it to the Father fulfilled. What a beautiful divine picture. And He prayed in John 17:24, "that they may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me." He prayed for us, as He said, not just for these, but for them who shall believe on me through their word. That gets us all. We have come to faith because of what they wrote. We have believed because of their testimony. And He prayed for us also, that we might see His glory. Ah, yes, the poor Roman Catholic who looks upon the crucifix and sees the Son of God in shame and degradation, dying. That's not the goal, friends. The goal is the Lord Jesus, the King of glory, Savior and Redeemer of mankind, the great King. That's the goal. Not a personage who is near death, but a personage who is the Lord of life, who has conquered death, who Himself can impart life to all who will believe. He is our goal. Now, friends, all that puts a responsibility on us, an obligation And the Lord spoke about that in his ministry. In John 16:2, he warned that faithful believers would suffer. Those who kill you will think that they serve God. Does it surprise you that the world hates Christians? It shouldn't. He told you about it. It's amazing how venomous the world gets. When we stand up and say what is plainly taught in God's Word, that He wants all men to repent of their sins and get right with Him, they go into a paroxysm of fury. How dare we impugn their morals and their integrity and so on? I'm not a sinner, is their attitude. Well, they're blind in their better moments. They know they are, but they won't admit it. They put up a front. They're everything they ought to be, and it's none of your business. That's the world's attitude. You tell them they're not right with God? How dare you say that? You think you have all the truth? So on. They're so defensive about it. That shouldn't surprise anybody. That is the way the world is. It wants to go to hell. That's weird. It wants the sin. It wants the darkness. Men turn away from the light because they love darkness. There's no sense to that. But they do it. And this is what we're in. The midst of a wicked and perverse generation, going the wrong way, despising us because we're going the right way. We're creating problems. We're going down a street the wrong way. All right, so be it. And they look at us with disgust. Let them. My friends, purpose means that God's will is more important than anything else. God's will is the pathway that we're traveling. And if somebody doesn't like it, well, we're sorry to hear that, but that doesn't cause us to miss one step. Many people are afraid to offend others. Why don't some Christians give out tracts? They're afraid of being turned down. Well, I can't tell you how many tracts that have been refused from me. There's been a lot of them that they've taken, too. But we fear what the other person is going to say or think or do. And we don't fear what God thinks and will say someday. Those who are ashamed of Him, He will be ashamed of. That's really a shame. But those who would confess Him and declare boldly, yes, they belong to Him. Ah, He is going to call attention to that before the angels of God in glory. And we don't think of that. We think of public opinion more than we think of God's pleasure. That's a convicting thought for us all. In John 17, verse 14, in his prayer, he described how the world hates believers because they are not of the world, even as he was not of the world. And that's the trouble. When you step out for the Lord Jesus, you're going against the world, the wrong way from their standpoint. The Lord Jesus, however, is the right way. He is the way to eternal life. And when we follow Him and travel His pathway, it is the right way. Whatever people may think or say. Purpose. A purpose that is steely is not going to be pulled aside. It's not going to be intimidated. It's not going to be belligerent either. It's God's pathway. This is the way we go. This pleases God. And walk it, we shall. A steady, determined purpose of pleasing God first. In 1 John 3:16, the apostle says that the Lord laid down His life for us. We ought to be willing to lay down our lives for the brethren. Self-sacrifice. Wasn't that what the Lord did? The whole life was self-sacrifice. His death was self-sacrifice. Isn't that what He's calling us to? Self-sacrifice. Now, the Lord Jesus commanded us to do certain things. In John 5:39, if we may look at that passage, He commands, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of Me." And He says to the unbelieving audience, "Ye will not come to Me that ye might have life." So here, the Lord tells us a very important part of what we are doing in this world is searching His Word, filling our minds and thinking processes with His Scripture. Now, that word search means trace out, investigate, examine very thoroughly, like you were hunting for gold, digging very thoroughly to find those glittering specks. You wouldn't miss anything. Go through Scripture that way. It's solid gold. We need to search the Scriptures, hunting for those gems, those beautiful statements of truth that can change and transform our lives. And in the next verse, he says, "And ye will not come to me, that ye might have life." That tells you the main purpose of searching the Scripture: to come to the Lord Jesus, to become more like Him, to be conformed to that image that we see in Scripture. He is the central character in all of Scripture, from the seed of the woman in Genesis all the way to the Lamb who conquers in Revelation. He is the theme of the entire book. This is our purpose: to obey Him, to yield to His authority as the great King of Kings, the great Shepherd of the sheep, and to please Him by accomplishing exactly what He intends in our lives. He is the center of all of it. The Scripture centers in Him. And so our lives should center in Scripture. This is why we read the Bible all the time. This is why we memorize Scripture, so that when we are not free to read it, we can remember it and quote to ourselves verses that are a blessing, a strength to us, a help to others. This is why we meditate upon Scripture, bringing to ourselves the blessing of its meaning. We don't just rattle off words, but we know what it means. We apply it to our hearts. We let that grip our hearts and minds and change our practice. In John 12:26, the Lord gives us another statement: "If any man serve me, let him follow me." Here's another thing that He said for our benefit. He is the shepherd, and we are the sheep. What in the world is the business of a sheep to go over hills and far away, forgetting all about the shepherd? Well, that's pretty sorry sheep. But here He says very plainly that if we intend to serve Him, we're going to be right behind Him. He is the shepherd. We are following Him. We're doing what He wants. We're going the pathway that He is leading us down. He controls the direction of our life. Otherwise, we're a black sheep. We're going off away from the shepherd. Now, in John 10:4, He says, "The sheep follow the shepherd, for they know His voice. They listen to the shepherd. They know it's His voice and not another's. And they won't follow somebody else. Sheep are like that. They know exactly what the shepherd sounds like. They'll follow Him. Nobody else will they follow." Wish Christians were like that. Too often we hear the wrong voice and get confused. A sheep never gets confused. We've got to be focused. Is that the voice of the shepherd or not? We've got to be sure. That requires the Scriptures, spiritual discernment. In John 10:27, "My sheep hear my voice," present tense, "keep on hearing my voice, and I know them," present tense, "keep on knowing them, and they follow me," present tense, "continue following me." The sheep are listening, the sheep are following, and He knows them. They're His. That's a beautiful picture, friends. It's one that we belong in. We need to be listening to Him, need to be following Him, right behind the shepherd. No distance, right there where He is going. That's where we need to be going. Obedient, willing, zealous, eager to keep up with the shepherd. In John 7:17, we have a statement that is one of the critical texts in all of Scripture. "If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God, or whether I speak of myself." He's talking concerning an unbelieving mob that he is speaking to. And he's saying the critical point, if anyone is willing to do his will, he shall come to a proper knowledge. If he is not willing, he will never know. Now friends, that is a verse that settles all kinds of personal work. If you're talking with someone and they want to know, they want to hear what Scripture says, boy, run with that ball. Give it to them. What if they don't want it? If they despise what is there, that's their choice. They are doing it themselves. They will never come to the truth unless they submit to the one who is the truth. So this tells us we must have a settled, determined purpose of doing His will. He is the reason that we're in this world. He is the person who is guiding our steps through this place. He is the person who has prepared the goal at the end of the pathway and is leading us down that pathway toward that perfect end. How else could you suppose to get there but that pathway? My friends, we must determine that God's will is the most important single thing in our life. And we will not flee it. We will not turn away from it. We will travel that pathway by His grace with zeal and determination. The shepherd leads this way as an obedient sheep we follow and follow closely. That single-minded purpose must govern all of life for us. The question is not, will I be happy? Will I be richer? Will I have fun doing this? The question always is, will the shepherd be pleased? Every head bowed. In this quiet moment, it may be God's Spirit has spoken to your heart. There's something you've been arguing with the Lord about, and you're out of sorts with Him. Would you get it right and put whatever that is into His hands and say, yes, Lord, here it is. It's all yours. Help me to follow thy pathway, thy will above all. If that is what God's Spirit has said to you, would you slip up your hand and say, pray for me. Today I want that dedication. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Oh Lord, how we thank Thee for this blessed book and the privilege we have of looking into this holy word and seeing Thy will for our lives. Lord, we ask that Thou wilt help us to see that will clearly and to obey. Put within our hearts the loving desire to please Thee. We pray for these who have asked for prayer. By Thy grace, take whatever that was that troubled them. Remove it from their heart and conscience and enthrone Thyself in that place instead. And for all Thy saints here who want to please Thee, Lord, we ask for grace. Strengthen us in that resolve. Help us that we may walk that pathway to please Thee, to satisfy Thee alone. Help us that we may be obedient sheep right behind Thee, Lord, for Jesus' sake.